This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
If the animal rubs itself against the wall for its own hano, the tin for peiros lahanoso, or she dirtied fruit for its own hano, says Rashi, nishacho bekoisa lahanoso vehipilosoi, and she caused the wall to fall. I don't know why Rashi says that. Why the wall must fall? What happens if the paint just comes off? Is that also not that appears according to Rashi? That wouldn't be shame. That wouldn't be the nezik of shame. That the wall actually has to collapse in order for it to be shame. Sorry. So then she said, "Beziko, maybe damage the wall. Why? Whatever the damage is, one stone comes out. Maybe." How does she dirty the peiros? By rolling on them. Like donkeys and horses. Then it's compared to shein. Where in the act of damaging there is hano. Ask the Gemara, Ma'ish no shein, the yesh hano lehezeko, mamein chosh minos olecho, haninami yesh hano lehezeko, mamein chosh minos olecho. What is the difference then between shein and the toldus of shein? In both cases, this is an act of nezek for which you are responsible, and the animal has hano, and therefore it's the mechayev is the same, whether it's shein or whether it's the toldus of shein. Says Rashi, Ma'ish no shein, mehanach the kamuk bismilf the rapova, but toldus of shein regel. What is the difference between these and the Av of Shein, that you try to say that Rav Popper was making his Chiddush of Lav Ki Yitzhi Behen Dafke in Shein? A funny Rashi, isn't it? It is a peculiar Rashi. El atol de Shein ke Shein, v'chiko amar Rav Popper atol de Regel. Atol de Regel ma'i, what is atol de Regel? She damages with her body as she walks. Basaro derech hilucho. She damages with her hair and with her fur as she walks. Her hair. B'sholif sholel. B'frumbi yishibapir. B'zuk shevetzavoro. She damages with the saddle that's on her, or the bit that's in her mouth, or the yoke that's on her neck. Once again, the kach hamechayev is exactly the same. Just as in other cases, it's hezek motzui, and it's your money, and you're supposed to look after it. So here as well, and therefore there can't be any difference. Says Rashi, kol hezek derech hiluch shelo bekavono habitoldu deregel. What is toldu deregel? Any in hezek, which is derech hiluch, while the animal walks. And without kavona, the hezeko motzi vein kavona sal hazik. That's the hezeko motzi and not kavona la hazik also, a bit of a best Rashi. Uvasaro, she need bekukelim besaro, the goroson vishibaton. How does she damage with her hair? She schleps kelim with her hair, they get attached to her hair, and she drags them and they break. Maishna regel de mechayiv, the hezek motzi. What is the difference between regel, where is chayev, and it's hezek motzui? Now here Rashi treats this maishra question very differently, doesn't he? Elo says the Gemara, but we must say tolda the regel ki regel. The regel also, the tolda is the same as the yaf. V'chiko amar apopa tolda the boer. Where does Rav Popper say his thing that the av is unlike the tolda, that the tolda is unlike the av? That must be talking about tolda the boer. Tolda the boer, mind you, what is a tolda of boer? If we'll say that the Av is 10 tfochim, a boir of 10 tfochim deep is an Av, and if it's only 9 tfochim, it's not an Av. If that's what we're going to use as the difference between an Av and a Tilda, neither 9 nor 10 are mentioned in the Pasuk. Answer the Gemara, Haloi Kashya, Vahames Yiloi Omarachmada. The Torah says, and the dead animal belongs to the owner of the pit. V'kimlu l'rabbonon yud avdin miso tes nizikin avdin miso lo yavdi. And the Rabbonon have examined and concluded that a pit of 10 has the capacity to kill and a pit of 9 does not have the capacity to kill. And what does that mean then? What is the Gemara answering? So when the Torah says v'hames yilo, it is talking about a pit of 10 and a pit of 9 is takir told them. Says Rashi, av asor aboir omer yud tfochim haino av, a pit which is 10 tfochim deep, that is an av. Tebekach darke lahames, because that is normal to cause a death. V'ze av nezikin de'im nof al shor bever tisho meis potur. That's further on, isn't it? It's the next one, yeah. Says the Gemara, soif, good, but after all, ze av lemisav, ze av lenezikin. Even if you learn it the way you've just learned it, that the Chachomim decided that pit which is referred to in the Torah is yud tvochim, still, test tvochim is the av for nezikin. There are two kinds of nezik of boar. There's a boar which causes death, and there's a boar which damages. And both of them are obvious. Says Rashi, "Vze avle nezikin, dim nofal shor bevor tisho umes." Because if a shor falls into a boir of 9 and he dies, potur bal habor, then the bal habor is potur. Why? Why is he potur? He dug the pit. Yeah, so it wasn't the pit that killed. The animal must have been weak to start with, or something else killed. The imhuza chayiv, but if that animal was damaged and not killed, then he becomes chayiv. A very strange situation. If the animal is killed, he's potter. If the animal is only damaged, he's chayiv. For the worst damage, he's potter. Why? Because we establish that he's not responsible for that. That damage is so severe that his thing couldn't have caused it. Like people sometimes say with their dogs, you come and you say, yeah, the dog bit somebody, and they say, my dog couldn't have bitten, sir. My dog's only got little teeth, couldn't have made such a gash in a person. Couldn't be my dog. So you say that the boat can't be, the boat of test can't kill. I mean, it did kill. So the Chachomim have decided that that's not the fall which killed. It's something else which killed, it's not the fall which killed. What could have killed, for example? The shock, maybe, it's kind of a groma. It could be, but it's not the boat. It's true, he might be responsible for the death. He might be the cause indirectly of the death, but not enough to be Mechayev him Nezikim. It's not so posh that you are, but why? What is the?
No, isn't it a similar case? So that the animal has some sort of defect in it which makes it much more susceptible to death. More so than
it's groma then. It's second. It all becomes very much second degree. It means, under normal circumstances, what I dug was not something capable of killing. Your animal got killed, and it wasn't killed by my actions directly. That indirectly, I might be responsible. That's groma. We'll deal with further on, but it's not the case of the nezek of boy. But if the animal is damaged in a boir of teisho, then I am chayev. The avhu, and that is an av, that's not a toldo. The fact that I'm chayev for the nezikin, that's an av. Why? Because it's learned from a diyuk in the posuk. So Rashi is mechadish, that this which he said on the Mishnah, that an av ovus kari lahanech diksivim bikro behedye, doesn't mean behedye, it means even bediyuk. Strange, isn't it? Rashi said behedye, didn't you see that? Didn't say hanan diksimin bikro, he said hanan diksimin bikro behedye.
Karen, Higiga, there's a whole lot of diukim to actually get to that.
Yeah, but at the end of it, it's written. In each case, it's written. Kiyigach is written. Just a question of knowing what kiyigach means. Kiyigach is written. It's a question of knowing what it means, but the word is there. But here, a boir of test, the Rashi himself says, it's not written. You have to deduce it from the posuk, but a deduction is also good. Midichtiv v'ames yeloi. Since it says v'ames yeloi, the mashma, what does that imply? V'ames yeloi. That means we must be talking about a boir asor de bar miktilu. We must be talking about a boir which is 10 deep, which is a bar miktil. Then chayev b'misas hashoy. Then he's chayev for the death of the ox caused by his boir. Hobotze me'ochi b'misaloi chayev. But if it's less than 10, he isn't chayev for death. Hobinazikin b'schayev. So what is the Torah saying? If a man dug a pit of 10, that's how you would read the pasuk. Because if it wasn't a pit of 10, he wouldn't be chayev for the death. So you've got to read into the pasuk. If a man dug a pit of 10 tefachim deep, and an ox fell into it, and he died, he's chayev. Mashma, if he didn't die, he's not chayev. Five. Mashma, that if he died, he's not chayev. If he died, he's chayev. What is that mashma? If he didn't die, if he was only damaged, then he would be chayev. So what's the diuk? So the diuk is, but if it wasn't 10, then he wouldn't be chayev. For what wouldn't he be chayev? For the death of the animal. That's all you can be medayik from the pasuk. That's all you can deduce. That when are you chayev for the dead animal if the pit is 10? But if the pit is not 10, you are not chayev for a dead animal. What about a damaged animal? Yes, that you're still chayev for. It's a diuk. What's wrong with the diuk? To know that you're chayev altogether. So where do you know the etzem achiyu from? Where do you know that you're chayev altogether from? So then you would have to say, since we know from the case of the death that the pit, although it doesn't belong to him, the Torah makes it like his. That we'll have to say in any pit. If a man digs a pit in Rosh Hashanah, that pit is mine. Now the question is only one of extent. And once the pit is mine, I'm chayev. Then it's mamoin chush minosan alecha. So then I'm chayev. Once I know the yisoid that the Torah makes it my pit, then I know I'm chayev in Ezekiel. Now the question is, in what circumstances am I chayev in Ezekiel? Says the Torah, if it's 10, then I'm chayev for the death. And if it's less than 10, I'm not chayev for the death. But I remain chayev for anything else that happens. Yes, but what Leonard was asking is the etzem achiv, where do we know from? Yeah, so we've got to say, once you chayev in 10, that's not a gzeres hakosa for 10. That's a gzeres hakosa for bur. The bur is. That's what the Torah does with further on in the sugi of bur. Lishna achrinan, Rashi brings an alternative limbud. Sof sof zeav le misa v'zeav le nezikin dechi heichi denapik lon mikro bur misa nafkin lon bur teslikin. Just as you 10 for, so you learn 9 for nezikin. It doesn't say if a donkey or killed in your pit. It says if a donkey or an ox falls into your pit, you're chayev. That implies that you're going to be chayev whatever happens to him. However, that if the ox dies, it belongs to the Baal HaBor, Rabbonin said b'vor tisha poter. That doesn't apply by b'vor tisha. To learn machmas habor meis, because the chachamim say that wasn't the pit which killed. So the chachamim use their own evaluation to limit that halacha of hames yeloi. They break the lahames, aval who's a chay of the b'tisha banazikin, because the b'tisha is banazikin. So Rashi learns differently. What's the difference between the first limud and the second limud? The Iker difference is the first is a diuk and the second is behedya. That's the main thing. So we see that there are 2 days in the Rishonim as to whether for an av it has to be written in the Torah of behedya or a diuk is also good enough. Rashi first brings the day that a diuk is good enough and he explains what the diuk would be. But he brings the Lishna Achrina to show that it can be written behedya as well. When the Torah says, V'nopal shama shoyruch v'chamoyr, that means you're chayev if a donkey or ox falls into it, irrespective of what happens to it. So we see that the chayev nezikin is in the Torah already. The only thing the Chachomim said is that if it died in a bor of tes, that you're not chayev for, because it wasn't the bor that did it. Now, if Amesh Yelo is talking about a specific case, when it says a man dug a pit, v'nofal shama shoyr chamor. So already there we see that there's going to be a chayev. Otherwise, it should say the. We shouldn't have to say the nofal then. So the word benofal means that the nefila is causing the chiyuv, not the consequence. It's not the misa which causes the chiyuv. You don't have to bring a vet to decide whether there's a chiyuv or not, to check whether he's dead or alive. The moment he's fallen in, you know that there's going to be a chiyuv for whatever damage has resulted. Otherwise, it should say umes shoma shoyro chamur. The nefila is what causes it. If it's mace, then I'm mace yelo. When say chachomim, if the pit caused the misa, but the nefila is irrespective. That's in all cases that the nefila is mechayev. That's the difference between the first and the second. The second learns it from the second ista is a yalfusa from the word nofa, and the first is a diuk. And Rashi on the Mishnah is machriya. Rashi on the we see from Rashi on the Mishnah that Rashi is learning like the Mishnah achrina. It's got to be b'kro behedya, not b'diuk. Because menofa. Because the word menofa is extra. If it would only say the nofal, then it may be. Yeah, the Torah would have to say something. If it didn't say v'amesi yeloi, then it would have to say v'nofal shoma v'ala bo yishali. What is the actual lashon of the book of the pasuk? V'amesi yeloi, v'amesi. Now, can we just have a chumash? Let's not guess with these things. Can we just have a chumash?
In the second, the Lishna Harina, surely there's no, if you're using nofal already, even less than Tessa, it was one.
Right.
Any damage whatsoever.
So leave out the Mamesi Yeloi, it's still good enough. If it would just have said, what would we say?
What kind of boy is talking about?
Any boy, even one tefach.
Well,
you wouldn't learn Misa. Mamesi Yeloi teaches you that we're talking about a boy Rasor.
So without that, you would say any boy,
Nezikin. And Kol Shechein Misa, maybe, if the bird caused the Misa. V'amesi Yeloi teaches us, maybe teaches us, just the din of the attack of the V'amesi Yeloi. Or you could say, no, V'amesi Yeloi, you might have to say that Misa, the Chachomim would have to determine whether the Misa was caused by the boer or not. But if the Misa was caused by the boer, why shouldn't you be chayav for it? If you're chayav for a broken leg, why shouldn't you be chayav for misa? The chiddush is only that faket, when the boer did not cause the misa, the boer did cause the chayav. If it was a boer of 50 amas and four fell in and died, why should the man would be, if he would be chayav for a broken
leg?
You're talking about the Lishna Achrida?
Yeah. You'd have to judge on the mitzvah
whether the boer caused the death or not.
And then you'd apply it accordingly.
Right.
The first one gives you a specific limit that even the rabbonim means that
let's get clear. So the Lishna Achrina is the Nofal Shoma Shoyro Chamur, means that a donkey or an ass fell therein, and that creates a chiyuv. He fell into the boy which you dug, and therefore you are chayiv for the resultant damage. And provided that the cause of death was the boy was deep enough to be a cause of death, then v'hamesi yeloi. Why do you need v'hamesi yeloi? According to the Mishnah Achrina, could be for that halacha. That could be. Kipshut. Now let's go through the first limud again. The first limud was that this is talking only about the boer of asor, and we know that from v'hamesi yeloi. And we deduce from that even if the boer that a boer of asor, you're chayav for the mitzvah. But if it's less than Asura, you will not be chayav for Misa, but you will be chayav only for Nezikin. So yes, according to that, the Ba'amis Yeloi teaches us that we're talking about a Boir of Asura. Where according to the Lishna Achrina, we're not talking about a Boir of Asura, we're talking about all Boris. That's the Nafkimina as to whether this posuk itself is referring to the Boir of Tess, or whether it's learnt Bidir. Whether it's deduced. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says the Nomer would have the home with the Yukid the Crow Nafka. What is Nafka? Look at the Rashi inside. The Im Nofal Shoy Bavir Tisho Umeis Potter Baal Habur. The Im Huzok Chayev. This that if he is Huzak, he is Chayev, is an Av. Why? The home with the Yukid the Crow Nafka, because that Chiyuv is learnt from a Diyuk of the Posuk. That's what Rashi says. The chiyuv of tes is learned from a diyuk. That without that, without the diyuk, we wouldn't know that there was a chiyuv of tes.
Unless you say diyuk and ikran nafka midiktiv amati elod and he says that's from the diyuk and ikran.
No. You're not reading correctly. No. Dimnofal shoy bevoy tisho umes potur baal habur veim huzok chayev veavhu. Why is it an Av? Where does it say so? Tohomi diyuki dikron afka. And then Rashi proceeds to explain what the diyuk is. Leonard, what did you say before? You wanted to say, where does the etzem achiyuv come from? And Rashi is saying the etzem achiyuv comes from the diyuk. Now what's your difficulty with that? That the diyuk actually creates a chiyuv. What's the diyuk? The Torah says, if a shor falls into a boir of yud, he is chayev if the shor died. But if it is not yud, then he is not chayev if the shor died. That's all you can be medayek. That's all you can. In other words, the diuk has to. You've got to chop off the diuk. In other words, you would say, what is the Torah excluding by saying that if it's a davke, if it's a pit of 10, then you're chayev if the bor died? So you're going to say it's excluding the minimum. What is the excluding? That if the bor is only 9, you're not chayev if the bor died. That's all you can exclude. If the shor died, Mamela, from the diyuk you have the chiyuv. It's not as I wanted to say before that the chiyuv is there because of the diyuk. The etzem achiyuv is deduced. That which pasuk? No, that's lishna achrina. That's the lishna achrina. But according to the Lishna Kama, the whole posuk is talking. The whole thing is talking about a bur asoro. The Lishna Kama is talking about where is the source for the chiyuv in a bur of 9. Where do we know from that for a bur of 9 you chayav nezikin? Says Rashi from Diyuka Dikro. V'zeh av l'nezikin di nofal shor bevor tisho umeis potur bal haboy ve'im huzok chayev. Now those are the three critical words. Ve'im huzok chayev in a boir of tes. Ve'av hu, and that chiyuv is an av, which means it's stated in the Torah. Where is it stated in the Torah? Toh midiyuka dikro nafka, because that chiyuv is learned from a diyuk in the posuk. The chiyuv nezikin in a boir tisho is learned from a diyuk in the posuk. That means the posuk itself is not talking about tisho at all. Midichtiv v'ameis yiloi. It says v'ameis yiloi. What do we learn from v'ameis yiloi? The mashma boir asora. That implies that the whole parsha is talking about a boir asora. Why the bar miktil? Because only a boir asora is a bar miktil, and therefore chayev misas hashor. Now starts the diyuk. But what would you do if the pit wasn't 10? Not the pit talked about in the Torah. If we had another pit which was only 9. All you can deduce from the posuk is that in such a bone, if the animal died, he's potter. you better eliminate the least possible. Otherwise, your diuk will be too big. You'll have no justification for it. You can't say the diuk is that in a both test you put it all together. That's too far a diuk. Just a second. Jeff, what's worrying you in the Lishna Kamen? That you put it on tests altogether. That's too big a chidush. You can't make such a big chiddush if there's a way of learning less of a chiddush. You're chayev. On tes. On yud, you're about a chayev on a zikin. Yeah, on yud, you're about a chayev on a zikin. There's no question. So what is the diuk? The diuk is either you're going to say, but on tes, you're going to say you're potter from something. Either you're going to say you're potter in Gansen, or you're potter only from the Misa, which is explained, which the Pasuk is talking about. And the correct diuk is the latter, not the former. So, b'diuk, we know the chiyuv nezikin and tes. And that's enough to make it enough, says Rashi, according to the Lishna Kama. But that's not in accordance with Rashi and the Mishnah. And now we know why that word is behedia. Rashi put that word behedia in the Mishnah so as to exclude the Lishna Kama. And that type of limit. It's a very nice example of how we could have spent 3 days making Pilpulim on that Rashi on the beginning of the Mishnah. And really, once you get a little bit further, it becomes very clear as to what Rashi means. I don't know what the klal is. In Chumash, the Lishna Achrina usually means that he needs both of them. But it's not an alternative, but that you need both. In the Gemara, I don't think that that's necessarily so. I think it's two alternative ways of learning. And I don't know why Rashi brings them both. Probably because he doesn't find a hechret for one more than the other, certainly in the sugya over here. Why Rashi says behedya on the posuk, why Rashi says on the Mishnah behedya, and is machriya like the Lishna Basra, that I don't know. There must be something further on in the sugya possibly which causes him to be machriya. Yes, you want to ask something?
Isn't that
Lishna Basra
still depending on the first part of the posuk, establishes a
Now the diuk creates the chiyuv nezikin. That's what Rashi says. But the diuk creates the chiyuv nezikin.
And you don't use the first
pasuk
at all.
No, the pasuk is only talking about 10. That's talking about a bor of 10.
But still, it creates the
for a bor of 10. If there wasn't the diuk, there would be no chiyuv for the bor of 9. If for some reason you couldn't be medayik, then in a bor of 9 there would be no chiyuv. That would not be a say. That's not called a bor.
But it's establishing.
For a bor of yud, for a bor of yud.
So
the zikin for a bor of yud,
of
yud. Bor of tes. No, you learn. This parashah is talking altogether about a bor of yud.
Yes, but I mean, there's two aspects. There's the zikin and there's.
Yeah, but if it's not a bor of yud, it's not called a bor. If it went for the diuk.
Okay. But you learn the Nizokin from the Yishalem, though, and the Mace, even though is the Misa. So the Duke is coming just to remove the second part and leave the other part intact.
I see what you said, that in a Bor of Yud itself, there's a Chiyuv Nezek, that you Chiyuv Tashlumin, and in Misa, you learn from Vamesi Yeloi what the Din will be. Yeah, you don't even have to go that far. Vamesi Yeloi tells you that it's a Bor of Yud. Now that you know it's a bor of yud, Yishalem means you pay. If it's nezek, you pay for the nezek. If it's death, you pay for the whole animal. You don't need to come onto that. Everything is in Sholem. Everything is in Yishalem Kesef Yoshiv Liba'alav. V'ames Yilo is just to tell you that it's talking about a bor of asorah. That's all you have to say. And so what in a bor of tes? You won't have to pay. So we said, no, in a bor of tes, you won't have to pay if he dies. That's all that you can be medayik from a bor of tes. That's why the Torah talks about a bor of yud. To teach you the chidush, that in a bor of yud, you have to pay even if he dies. Mashenki, in a bor of tes, you have to pay, but not if he dies. David?
No.
It That's the whole parasha. Misa is just part of the nizikin. There's no capital punishment for the ox dying because it's nizikin. There's no difference there. The only difference is in what caused the death.
No, but we just established what it should
out. Could be the same value.
You might have caused it to be a trefa.
Where he has no value, yeah. It could be.
We just established according to Rashi that the one way of learning is that if it's not stated in the Torah, but there may be, you can't do anything, any liability to pay at all.
Right.
So that's why I was going to say that if the Torah says that if it dies, maybe that's the end of the period, but no.
Okay.
So how do you answer Jeff's question that if you learn from the Mishnah comments, from the Duke, all the Chiyuvim, all the Nezikim of Bor, so then what is
of Bortes? Of Bortes you learn from a Duke. Bor Yud is Behedia, and Bortes you learn from a Duke.
Okay, it's all from Bahamas Hidi alone, it's from the same person.
Right.
And then what do you need the Nofal
for? The Nofal is the whole thing. The Nofal is that no matter what happens to him, in a bur yud you pay. No. But Amesi Yeloi just tells me we're talking about a bur of yud. That's how we learn the deal from the Rashi. In the long tooth was in the perish given the boy you'd look to behead ye el mafki misvor me va mes ye loy de be inen kedel hamis ve kim lo rabon da de boy you'd but es nami habi svor da vi avle zikin given the yesh boy kedel hazik me kom kom lo matin en odon
Right.
The Tosfos to say this in Rashi, Tosfos Mefarish the Kuntras. We mustn't confuse the two. The Tosfos might not be learning like Rashi.
What I'm saying is to learn out the Hebrew in the Asura.
Right.
So therefore, if it's less than Asura, and the whole reason in the Chayavi was because it's Kedai Lahom is second in Asura, that's why you have Misa Kedai Lahom. If it was Nezek, doesn't have to say Nezek. Once it is Nezek, and it's Kedai Lahazik, it would be
Chayav also. But that's different to what Rashi is saying. That's different to what Rashi is saying. That's Misfor, it's not Midiyu. No. Doesn't sound, I haven't read the Tosfos carefully, but it doesn't sound like the same thing. It sounds like that's Misfor. And that doesn't make any big nafkamina, but I don't think it's what Rashi is. Rashi is saying two Lashonis. Diyuka Dikro. In other words, Rashi might hold that Misfor is not enough. Rashi might hold it's got to be Midiyu. The Midiyuka Dikro. The Lishna Kama. Not Behedia, it's Midiyuka. Midiyuka Dikro. The second one is Behedia. So there might be a Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos on that. That's why we mustn't confuse the Tosfos in it yet. Also, it's possible that when Rashi says Behedia on the Mishnah, he means Midiyuk or Beferush, but not Misvora.
What is it possible? In other words, he only says that he says Mikro.
Yeah, it might be, but in other words, what I'm saying is that Rashi on the Mishnah might be Lafuket Tosfos. And might cover both the Lashonis. That might already be Behedia. Yeah, it might already be Behedia. Well, it's Mefurish for sure. The question is that called Mefurish Behedia or not? Yeah, could be. This is Chalik with Rashi. The difference, but that might be what Rashi means on the Mishnah. No, not at all. Svara is one step further removed. Indeed. The hedya on the Mishnah Rashi means would cover both these lashonos. That the hedya would mean even bediuk, because there's a third possibility, and that's to learn it misvora. The one is to learn it where the pasuk explains it clearly. The other is where it's diuk from the pasuk, and the third is where it's svora. But the pashtus, when Rashi says behedya, that means behedya. Always carry lahanach the ksivin bikro. Just you could just say the ksivin bikro, and that would include diukim. Ksivim bikro behedya implies that it's clearly, you don't need any diuk, you don't need any svara, that it's and that's the chiluk between these two lashonas, between the Lishna Kam and the Lishna Basa. That's Bepashtus how I would learn the Rashi. Because then it would be the case of the Tolda Lavki Yitzibu. Then this would be the case of Tolda Lavki Yitzibu. Because in the one case you're chayef of mis, in the one case you're not. I think the Gemara is trying to avoid that. Right? Says the Gemara, Elo a'avnoi sakinoi umasol shenichon b'rishus harabim ve'ezikim. So what Rav Popa must be talking about is another tolda of boer, a stone, a knife, or a bundle that a person leaves in Rosh Hasharabim, and they cause damage, says Rashi. Avnoi oy sakinoi shehinichon b'Rosh Hasharabim, v'niskelu bohen b'nei odom, and people are damaged by these objects, people trip over these things, v'hizikulohem, and they damage them. What is Rashi saying here? Sorry? Chief, very good question. And why the niskulu of Ezekielohim? It's got to be else takola. What would be a bomb? What would be a limpid mine? What kind of nezik is that? Is that a bov? Niskulu b'mleyodim? That's kavod lazik. That's kavod. That would be short. Ah, it's hefker. It's not mamoina. He's mafkir when he puts it down. So you need to learn it from shor and bor combined. But the other question is whether it's meniskelu boim. For example, if somebody trips over the mine and detonates it, that could be bor. Except the kavon al hazig aspect of it, but that just makes it worse. That's bor with makes it worse. But if somebody was walking far away, was not niskal, and he gets affected by it, that certainly wouldn't be bor. The afkirinu. Ask the Gemara. Hey, chidami.
It's kavon al hazig. Should we make that major distinction on kavon al hazig in?
Irrelevant, really, isn't it?
He digs a bore.
It's also
covered.
It also would be bore, yeah. Even if it's covered as it, you probably don't. That's why I said it's bore. It's worse than bore. It's a bad case of bore. That's all. You know, the kavanah lazik doesn't make it any less. There's no, doesn't have to come onto shore. Bore is enough. Even if it wasn't kavanah lazik, you would be chayav. Even if the limpid mind was there just to scare people off. You didn't intend it to be detonated. If he is mafkir, it's called throw a different cast, a different light, this Gemara, onto the whole, and living in South Africa and reading the newspaper, and it'll become a little bit more intellectually exciting.
But
doesn't detonate.
It doesn't detonate, then it's bored. If it does detonate, then it becomes short. Why? So then it is
the damage was foreseeable, and that was kavanas lahazik.
It'll probably still be boiled. It'll probably still be boiled. But you said might be true. It might be true. The ones who, that'll be depend on whether you're hurt by the by shrapnel or you're hurt by the actual blast. Yeah. Let's examine. If he's made it hefker, this stone, knife, or bundle which is left in Rishus HaRabim, if he was mafkir it high in the bow, then according to both Rav and Shmuel argue whether hefker is a necessary requirement to make it bor. If it is hefker, then everybody agrees that it's bor. And if it's not hefker, then Shmuel holds it still bor. Show that it will be. So we see that there is a possibility of learning even an inanimate object without kavona lahazik could still be sure. Strangely enough, that we're going to have to deal with in a moment, but let's first look at the Rashi. I suppose whether it's mafkir or not depends on whether somebody phones the newspapers afterwards and says, that was ours. everybody keeps quiet. Yeah, that will determine whether it's bor according to Shmuel. Says Rashi, to make it boir according to Shmuel, to make it boir according to Shmuel, I think it isn't, well, to make it boir according to either of them, then it must be hefker before he puts it in Rishus HaRabim. Must be hefker before he puts it into Rishus HaRabim. If he puts it into Rishus HaRabim and then he's mafkir it, that's not sufficient. Bein l'rav, bein l'shmuel, the pligi beferik ha-meneich ha-sakadeh, machlokes is on daf kafches. Haynu bo, the tarvayu omru, kol takolo shehifkir, because both agree that any takolo which they have been mafkir, nafkalan mi bo, comes from bo. The chayev, ki hechi de bo, chiyuv b'rishus HaRabim, yidavi hefker, just as a boy is a chiyuv in Rishus HaRabim, which is hefker, kedamrin lekam to ekshosh no yichas haporo. Shal iski kriyu ufsicho boloi, av kol takolo shehifkiru chayev. Because what are you chayev in the case of boir? Not for possession of the boir. The boir doesn't belong to you. The chidush of boir is that the act of digging the boir is yours, is attributed to you. So too, any takolo which doesn't belong to you, but which you put there, is attributed to you. So why must it be hefker before you put it there? What would happen if you put it there and then you were mafkir it? Why would that not be bur? When does it become bur? What act makes it into a bur? That's it, what do you say? Now, what act? Not what fact. What act makes it a bur? The placing of it there, the digging of it there, that maisa makes it a bur. It's the al-iski kriyu psicho. It's verbs which make it a bur. It's not the object. And all the other nezikin, why is it shor? Because it's your shor, because it's a shor. Why is it an esh? Because it's your esh, it's esh. In the case of bor, it's a verb, it's an act which is yours. The object is not yours, the object is hefker. The meiser was yours. Now, if at the time meiser, it wasn't hefker, then it doesn't fit the category of bor. The category of bor is that the only thing which makes it yours is the meiser, that you're performing a meiser which with something that does not belong to you. But if it belongs to you at the time, then it would probably be sure it's mamoncha. You put it there. Afterwards you're mafkir, that's too late. It's already in a state of damage before you're mafkir it. You can't then be mafkir it and remove responsibility in that way.
So it's you can't disown your ox.
I'm not sure. What would happen, Taki, if you disown your ox? If you mafkir it first, but if you're not, if you mafkir it afterwards, if you let it go out afterwards. Yeah, something you would have to do. I'm just thinking what the Nineveh would be. otherwise, otherwise it's not bur. If it's not hefker when you put it there, it's not bur. Bur is the a maise kriya ufsicha of an object which is not yours. That's what bur is. If it doesn't fulfill those requirements, then it's not bur. No. No, the doing it. The preparing. So there's nothing to pay, but it's yours, and it remains yours forever. The e the lay up kirinu. If you mafkir the land, what's the difference? But it's off. It's too late. Once you've dug the burr already, and it was even in your rishus at the time of digging, it wasn't a burr altogether. To be mafkir the land, that doesn't make it a burr. An act of mafkir doesn't make it into a burr. An act of kri of psicha makes it a burr. That's the important thing. You can't, in your case, the kri of psicha didn't make it into a burr because it was in rishus ayochid. Then you were mafkir the land. That's not making a burr.
And the burr on your land, I mean,
it's potter. That's not a burr, yeah. You're allowed to make burrs in your land. If we're going to Shmuel, who says there that every takola is boir, even if it's not hefker, he holds any takola in Rishus HaRabim is a boir, then this was a boir. The Rav Domar kol takola shelo hefkiru mishol omadnu, but Rav learns that any takola which is not hefker comes from shor. Just as a shor belongs to you, and if it causes damage, you're chayev. So anything which causes damage, you're chayev for. Therefore, I'm a shor, but I've told the boy, then it wouldn't be a told the boy. Uveshor amorim le'el told the shor kishor. And in shor, we've already said that the told of a shor is like a shor. We've covered that. But Pinu Shmuel namidom a told the boy, neither. And even according to Shmuel, who says this would be a told the boy, my chazis le'ukme milta de rapopa a told the boy. Why would you say that Rav Popa must be talking about Tolda the boy? Maishna boy the chayev shekin tchilas asiyosu v'chuli. Haninami tchilas asiyosu tchilas maishnasu boy dainu kishu hunchu l'shom. See that? The origin of their being made into a boy. What made them into a boy? The hanocha there. When they were put there, hoyoim dim lenezik, they were ready to do damage. So mimon of shach. If we're going to learn like Rav, if we're going to learn like Shmuel, then this is Tolda the boy. And it's like bo. There's no difference between the tilde and the av. And if we're going to learn like Rav, then it's a tilde of shor. And we've already covered that tilde of shor is kashor. What did we say? Why is tilde of shor kashor? How did we count? Kavanos l'azik. And here? There's no kavanos l'azik. So why is Tilda the Shor Kishor here? This is a new case. This might be it. We've covered Tilda the Shor Kishor. We didn't cover Takolos. That wasn't discussed yet. How does the Gemara just brush it aside? And if it's Tilda the Shor, we've already discussed that Tilda the Shor is Kishor. This is a new Tilda the Shor. We've never discussed this Tilda the Shor. We took each one of them separately. And we said, these are like the Av. And here we've got a new Tilda the Shor, which is not like the Av. That's Tosfos' kasha. That it will damage. And therefore there's an implied kavona.
And why does it have to be a told of shoring care? Why can't it be a told of shoring shan?
Tosfos deals with it, that it must be Kirin. It must be Kirin. Just have a look at the first part of the Tosfos, because it's impossible to understand the Gemara without it. Mishoyro lamadnu, haynu Kirin. When it says Mishoyro lamadnu, it means Kirin. The Shein v'regel p'turim b'rishus harabim, because Shein v'regel p'otah b'rishus harabim, and this we're talking about b'rishus harabim, so the only one it can be is Kirin. Uv'avnev v'sakino, in l'chalik ben tamus l'mu'adus. And in Avnei v'sakino, you can't make a chiluk between tam and muad. Because tam and muad is a difference which only applies with animals. You can't make a difference between tam and muad with avnei v'sakino. That doesn't make any sense at all.
V'im teimar heichi goma mishor ma'al shor shekin bal chai v'kavonos l'hazik.
Ashur is a Baal Chayin, it's Kavon al Hazik, all sorts of things. Mufarish Rashbam, Rashbam answered, the Ati Biboyer Veshur, Mimei Atzad. You can't learn it from Shur alone, you need it to learn it from Shur and Boyer. You learn it from Shur and Boyer, but it remains until the of Shur, because it's primarily like Shur. So we still remain with the kasha, but it's not like Shur. It's a mixture of Shur and Boyer, so this should be a case of a Tilda, which is Lavki, it's a woman's Lavki, it's not like the Av. So, let's go into Shitas Rashi, though, it's easy. How does Rashi learn? That Lavki Yetzeboy means you would be potter. Is there any Avamina that learning an Avne Vesakina like Shur that you would be potter? No. The Etzem Achiyuv is there. It's Mamoinchosh Miroson Alecho. That's the main thing. And that's what we're analyzing all the time. Is there a Mechayiv? Is there something which would cause a Chiyuv? And we're seeing now, we're beginning to see why Rashi has to learn this way. We've seen it now several times. That in the flow of the Gemara, it's as difficult as it is to understand, that seems to be the way the Gemara is learning. The Gemara is now saying, if the Gemara was analyzing in each stage, is it Kiyetzeboy, is it Lav Kiyetzeboy? If that were to mean, is it exactly like the Av or not? Then this would be created an enormous difficulty. This is not exactly like the Av. There's no Tam and Muad, and it's learnt also from Bo, because there's no Kavanos or Lahazik. Where is it like Karen? It's not like Karen at all. The only thing in which it's like Karen is that you're Chayav L'Shalim. They say, according to Rashi, that's good. If it's Chayav L'Shalim, that fits into the category of Kiyetzivoy. What we're looking for is something that you're potter from, that you're not Chayav L'Shalim. Where do we find a toldo, which although a toldo of a particular Av, you're potter mi L'Shalim? Goes on the Gemara to say, and a toldo the Berkebo, so we must conclude the Tilda the Boy is Kibbut. Bechiko, Marapopa Tilda the Mave. Mind you, what is Tilda the Mave? In Shmuel, the Omer Mave Zu Shein. If we learn like Shmuel, all that Mave is Shein, Hokim the Tilda the Shein Kishen. We've already covered that. In the Rav, the Omer Mave Ze Odom. And if we're going to learn like Rav who says that Mave is Odom, my Ovus and my Tilda is Isbe. What's an Av and Tilda by Odom? Let's say the Av is a conscious human being, but a subconscious human being maybe is a Toldo. Have we not learned that a man, a human being, is always a Muad, and whether he's alive or whether he's conscious or unconscious, he's always a Muad? So what do you see? Again, according to Rashi, beautiful. So you see, an Odom is Chayev, whether he's a conscious or subconscious. That's all that you see. Says Rashi, Odom Neir Hainu Av, Odom Muad, Eir V'yoshin, B'shiri Perik Beis. Elo Akichoy V'neir. Elo, says Rashi, Tilda, the Odom Hainu Kicho V'neir. What is Kicho V'neir? Kicho Roy Kape. Kicho means saliva. Neir Lecha Sachosim. And Leo means the mucus that comes out from the nose. Hechidam, ibadi da azli kamazki. If while these projectiles damage while they're flying, that's the human being himself. What's the difference if he hits you with his moving arm, or he hits you by spitting at you? And if you're going to say no, these things landed on the ground and then caused damage afterwards, nobody's going to retain ownership of their saliva on the ground after they've spat. But they've been mafkir for sure, there's no question that this is bo. So we must conclude that the human being also, in the case of man, the tolda is like himself, says Rashi, Ibadid Azli Maski, Shinofal al Ashiraim Vitinfuo, or the Techamashkin Venimosu. For example, a person spat and it fell into food or into drink. Koichu Vainu Odom Gufoi Vechayev. That's a man damaging with himself. That's not a Tildo. That's Odom. If once it fell on the ground, it caused damage by a person slipping on them. Here again, Eric, it's Odom. Bein le Rav, bein le Shmuel, hayenu boir. Doh vaday takola de afgerohi. This is certainly a takola which has been made hefker. Elo told the mave kemave. So we must conclude that the told of human beings like a human being. Vechinko amarav popo atold the esh. So the only one left now is esh. Told the Deish, my new. What is told the Deish? I lema avne sakinu maso sheinuchem berush gaga venof lebruach butzuya beiziku. If one left a stone, a knife, or a bundle on the roof, and in a normal sort of wind they were blown off the roof and caused damage, that's a told of Eish heichidami. Then what are we talking about? I badi da azlu kamazki. If they damage while they're moving, somebody was walking by and it fell on their head, hainu Eish. That's Eish. Maishno ish dekach achem urov bohen umamoin choshmiroso olecho. Just as ish has the involvement of a predictable third force. It belongs to you, it's yours. There's the fire and there's the wind. But you know that there's a wind, it's a normal wind. And you're obligated to watch against it. Haninami kach achem urov bohen umamoin choshmiroso olecho. Here too, it's your property, you should have watched it. And you should have foreseen the possibility of a normal wind. El atolda de esh ke esh. So atolda de esh must be like esh. Says Rashi, beruach metzuya, de I beruach she'ina metzuya. If we're talking about an uncommon wind, havi oynes v'lo mechayev, then it's an oynes and there's no chiyuv at all. That could not have been predicted. Aval beruach metzuya, havi atolda de esh. But if there's a normal wind, that is atolda de esh. Hare esh nami aruach moylicho. Because in the case of wind also, if it went for the wind, the fire would remain stationary. That's the chidush of esh, that I lit it in my property. And if it went for the wind, it wouldn't have gone out. That's hashgocha, it's not me. No, we say, ruach metzuya, you should have foreseen the results of that. So here the same applies. Dukach achem urav bo, b'havin li lasuki adaita. And he should have thought about it. Back in the Gemara, v'chika omar rav popa. So one must say, when did rav popa say that, so they say, in lav ki yitzabim, atol de regel. We must to Tilda the regel. Regel or Kimna, Tilda the regel. Regel asked the Gemara, but we have already decided that Tilda the regel is Keregel. Says the Gemara, but now let's examine a new style of the concept of Tilda. Up until now, we've looked at conceptual Tildas. In the case of regel, we have the opportunity of looking at another kind of Tilda. The Chatzi Nezek Tzroiros. The damage caused when an animal, through walking, kicks up stones, and the stones cause the damage. That second degree damage, that's now a different type of tolda. Not tolda born out of the concept of the av, but a tolda born out of the action of the av. The animal was walking. And she kicked up stones with her feet. Why with her feet? And if it's with her nose, what will be then? It's not be told the regel. What did we learn on Aloch Lomosh Misinai? That it is Momo not Knas, although even though the only other case of half Nezek, of half damages, is Kerim. In the case of Tam, and that is a Knas, it's not Momin. Here we are taught on Aloch Lomesh Misinai that it is Momin. Kidamin lekam and haipalganiz kamamoinahu. Behilkach lav tolda de kerin hu elo de regel. And this is why it's not kerin but regel. The mikoyach regel hu dosu, because it comes from the regel. Again, Rashi is implying, but if it came from some other part of the body of the animal, it would not be tolda de regel. Uchiregel lo yavi, and it's not like regel. The regel mishalom nezik sholim behind the rav pope. That what? Yes, but we'd have to say that now this whole thing changes because of the whole new vision. We first examined all the possibilities of conceptual tildus, and in the conceptual tildus, we will have to say, I think, that Rashi learned that if it's lav ki yetzibah, there is no chiyuv. Because what is a conceptual tolda? That means the Torah tells me A. From A, I deduce B. If I deduce B, we asked, then it must be like A. I've recreated A in B. the same as with Hilchas Shabbos. I've created a tilde, which must be the same as the Av. So what does it mean, Lav Kiyutz? I mean, Lav Kiyutz would mean that there's no Chiyuv at all. So we go through to show that that's impossible. You can't have a conceptual tilde, which is Lav Kiyutz. And that's what the Gemara has been driving at all the time. That you cannot have a conceptual tilde, which is Lav Kiyutz. And it proves it by going through every tilde. So what do we do? So we've got to start with a new type of tilde. The physical tilde, not the conceptual tilde. On the physical tilde, then now we're open again. Lav Kiyutzabim doesn't necessarily mean potter altogether. Lav Kiyutzabim can mean a different kind of chiyuv, a lower degree chiyuv, like in Tumen. If you're going the Shabbos way, then it's chayiv or not chayiv, and it can't be not chayiv, it can only be chayiv. If you're going the Tumah way, then there are all sorts of possibilities of reduced levels of Nezek. I think we're going to have to learn along that line. And that's why Rashi stresses here, Demikoyach Regel Hu De'osu. An interesting question. What will be the din taka with the animal with his horn kicks up at a stone and the stone damages? Sorry? Yeah, except but based on this Rashi, what would you say that is? There's a Rabbeinu Yonah which we will learn who says that it's a Chatzin Nezek Tzroirois Dekeren. But we'll have to see what you'll be. But you know, what I'm saying is that what makes this Tolda the regal is that he uses his foot. Okay. While he's walking, he uses his foot. If it wasn't his foot that he used, it wouldn't be Tolda the regal. Now, altogether, that's against all the kind of Toldas we've had up till now. Up till now, it makes no difference. Ravitze is Keren. Beita is Keren. Why all of a sudden does Rashi say the Mikach HaRegel Koso? Why is it a Tolda de Regel? Because it's done by the Regel. Well, that's against everything we've learned. Because we're learning a new concept in Toldas. Up till now we've been dealing with conceptual Toldas. If it's conceptual Toldas, it makes no difference what part of the body causes it. What's important is the concept is the same. Now we've moved away and we're talking about physical Toldas. If we're talking about physical Toldas, it's got to be absolute. That the Regel of the animal causes the Nezek during the time of walking. That makes it a Tolda de Regel. To be koyach haregel kos, now it's a tolda. Once it's that kind of tolda, then there are all possibilities of paying. We don't know how much to pay. Halacha l'moshe misinai. From the Torah, we can't deduce whether you chayev at all. We don't know chayev, potur, how much you chayev.